We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Orach Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Birchas HaShachar, Halacha Hey, Paragraph Tzadik Dalet. V'alkein maschilin b'yom ha-kippurim kol nidrei. Rav Nelson Zal says, based on what we've been learning here now, we'll understand why we begin the services, the prayer services on Yom Kippur, with Kol Nidrei, Ki Iker HaTshuva Nimshach Misham, because Tshuva comes from Neder, as we'll see soon, Mibchinas Nedorim VaHatarosam, from the concept of making vows and being released from vows. V'ho Iker B'Koyach HaTzadik HoEmes B'chinas Moshe. And one of the most important pieces of the tshuva and the neder and the releasing from the neder is the true tzaddik. And now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain. Ki ikar pegam kol ha-chatoim hu shepogam bebechinas neder u-shvua. Because what's behind all the sins that people commit chas v'shalom is that we've gone against a vow. We've gone against something we've sworn to. Ki kol mitzvos haTorah kibalnu bebris u'shvua, because the entire Jewish people accepted the Torah upon ourselves with a covenant and with a shvua. We swore to abide by these laws. Kamo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara discusses this in Soita, page 37. Ki b'sho shebo Yisrael kabbalat Torah bevadai hoyo lehem bechira lekabla oy shaloi lekabla. Because at the time that the Jews were approached by Hashem to accept the Torah, at that time we definitely had a choice to accept it or to refuse it, to reject it. V'alkein be'emes umay soilam loy rotzu lekablo. And that's why the fact is we find that the other nations of the world refused to accept the Torah. Kamo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara points out in Baba Kama, page 38, al posuk v'zorach miseir lomoi, regarding a posuk in Parshas v'zois habrocha, the Gemara learns out from that posuk, melameid shehechzira kodesh baruch hu es ha-toyrah, that from that posuk we learn out that Hashem first offered the Torah to all the other nations, and then after all of them refused it, Hashem went to the Jewish people to offer it to us, and we accepted it. V'ikr kabolas ha-Torah b'tchilosom zebechinas neder. And our main acceptance of the Torah in the beginning was with a neder, with a vow. Shekibluha me'atzma, meaning, as we mentioned earlier, the concept of neder is something voluntary, where a person chooses to accept upon themselves a certain new level of asceticism or holiness or something like that. As we discussed earlier, the concept of a person making nidrei precious. So now Rav Nosson Zal says that when we first accepted the Torah, it was in the form of neder, meaning shekibluha me'atzmam b'li hechrich. We accepted it willingly without being forced. Shezehu b'chinas neder, and that's the whole concept of neder. Sheroitze linhoig atzmoi b'prishus koidem shenitztave, whereby a Jew decides that they want to conduct themselves with a higher level of spirituality or asceticism or something like that prior to being commanded or obligated to do it. Avol tekef shekibluha, however, as soon as the Jews said, yes, we accept the Torah, we want to accept the Torah, ba'u b'neder u'b'shvua im Hashem yisborach. We entered into a covenant with Hashem, which included a neder and shvua, shemechuyavim l'kayma, that from that point on, once we said yes, it was sealed, it became obligatory, it became required. No longer voluntary. We can't say, changed our mind, have a nice day, Hashem. We don't want the Torah anymore, chas v'shalom. U'kishe poigmim chas v'shalom, Va'ivrim alei ze mitzvah, and therefore, when a Jew chas v'shom commits a sin, they go against the mitzvah. Iker ha'pegam bebechinas neder u'shvua shehu shoyrish ha'toyer v'knal. The main damage that's occurring is going back to the original, going back to the origin, where our first connection with the Torah was via neder shvua, as Rav Nosson Zal just explained. Ki ikar, now Rav Nosson Zal delves a little deeper into the topic of bechira. Ki ikar shoyrish habechira nimshach mebechinas Moshe hoisif yoim echod midaitoi. Because the main origin and source of free choice and how it applies to Klal Yisrael originates from when Moshe Rabbeinu added, he went ahead on his own and added an additional day to what Hashem had instructed the Jews to do before receiving the Torah. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said to him, I want you to go and tell the Jewish people that in order to prepare themselves for receiving the Torah, they must separate themselves from their wives for a certain period of time, a preparation of several days. The Gemara goes on to show that Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and added a day to the actual requirement and obligation that Hashem said, and Hashem agreed with him. Hashem gave him a yashar koyach. Hashem said, very well done. It was good that you realized on your own, Moshe Rabbeinu, that it was necessary to add an additional day. And the Gemara speaks about this again as being a choice that Moshe Rabbeinu made. This was not, he wasn't obligated. He on his own came to the realization to add to the obligation, to add to what Hashem, to the requirement that Hashem had said. And this is basically how we explained earlier the concept of neder. Hamavur al posuk vayanu kol hom yachdov, as is explained in Likutei Moran, on the posuk where it says that the entire Jewish people responded, yes, nasa v'nishma, b'simin kuf tzadik. In chapter 190 in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zalveir expounds on this issue of bechira and how Moshe Rabbeinu passed an important test at that time in realizing on his own to add to the obligation that Hashem had said. Ayin Sham Heitev, study that chapter in Likutei Moran well, Vahovein Heitev, and you'll understand very well the point we're trying to make here. Dahainu, which is, Shetzorich Lohovin Midaitoi Masheroitza Shem Yisborach Koidem Shenitztave, that Moshe Rabbeinu especially, and even every Jew, has to sometimes realize on his own what Hashem wants, even before Hashem goes ahead and says, you must do this and this, or you should do this and this. There are times that a Jew has to feel, what is the Torah saying? What does Hashem want? Should I stay here? Or do I have to, in order, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to move, to change your residence. That's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. But sometimes a Jew studies Torah, and they see what it's all about, and the person studies their own circumstances and they say, hey, one thing's for sure, if I stay here, I'm not really going to be able to have the best opportunity to fulfill the Torah, to study Torah. So even though nobody told me that I have to move or anything, I think on my own, I think the right thing for me and my family is we have to try to move to a place where there's more religion, more opportunity, etc. Using that as an example. Vafilu achshov. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, this isn't just thousands of years ago. This isn't just Moshe Rabbeinu. Even today, shekvar nitna Torah, when the Torah was officially given to us already on Har Sinai, and it's been with us for a couple of thousand years, and there are a couple of million books that have been written expounding on the Torah and broadening it and adding billions and trillions of new requirements, midrabanan, from the Gemara, from the Halacha, still, v'yesh l'chol echod b'chira kipshutoi. Each and every single one of us has free choice. Kipshutoi, as simple as that sounds, you know, simple. Meaning, afal pikein, that even though the Torah has been given, there still is bechira, and each person has a choice. Afal pikein, still, despite all of that, be'inyonei etzois, when it comes to advice and guidance, eich lizkois lekayim es divrei haTorah, how to succeed in fulfilling the Torah, how to give yourself the best possible chance of succeeding in Yiddishkeit, of fulfilling the Torah, ube'eze derech tzrichen leilech, and which path in Yiddishkeit a person needs to take, im bederech hamechakrim, whether to follow the path of the scientists and the philosophers, or im bederech hamekubolim, or to follow the path of those whose teachings are based on the mekubolim. We find, I've mentioned this in the past, the famous statement by the Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya, chapter 179, where it deals with the laws of magic, Mo'ine, Mechashe, those types of laws. And there, the Mechaber, the Beis Yosef, quotes a statement from the Rambam, where the Rambam said that a person is permitted to use an amulet on Shabbos, even though we know it doesn't really do anything, but psychosomatic, psychologically, the person will feel a little better, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And regarding that statement, the Vilna Gaon there in the Bir Agro comments that we know that the Rambam studied philosophy, and unfortunately, this took him off the path, the Vilna Gaon writes, and this caused him to have a major mistake regarding these things, regarding amulets, shedim, ruchois, malochim, all of those kind of discussions, which the Vilna Gaon points out, appear throughout the Gemara. It's all over the Gemara. It's all over the Zohar HaKadosh. And even though some of those things aren't always to be understood literally, one thing is for sure. We're not interested in the interpretations of the philosophers and those guys who got it all wrong. But rather, if we're talking about interpretation, this is the Vilna Gaon saying there, we accept the interpretation of the Choch Chachmei Ho'emes, the Mekubolim. They are the ones who were authorized and qualified to know how to interpret the Agodos of Shas properly, not Chas V'Shom, the philosophers and scientists because the Rambam delved into that study. He says in these areas, they took him off the right path, and his statements are not to be accepted, you know, not to be followed. So here again, Rav Nosson Zal is giving us an example here, and despite that, even though the Vilna Gaon wrote that, there are thousands of Jews today who religiously follow the Rambam in these areas, and they study the philosophy books that the Rambam wrote, which in our Sfarim they won't even mention the name. We call it Mem Nun. We don't even want to mention the name of the Sefer because it's unfortunately caused so much harm to many Jews in weakening their faith in Hashem, faith in Tzaddikim, faith in the Torah. And despite that, there are thousands of Jews today who believe that that's the derech, that's the right derech, and that's the most intelligent path to take in Yiddishkeit for today's Jews. But Rav Nosson Zal says that regarding what derech to go, whether to choose this derech or that derech, v'chein l'mi l'hiskariv, and so too, which rabbi should I try to come close to? V'chulu, etc., etc. B'chol zeh, regarding all of these issues, a person cannot open up a Shulchan Aruch or a Chumash and have clear instruction there that tells him, go to this rabbi, don't go to that. B'chol zeh tzorech ha'odom lohovin me'atzmoi. Regarding all of this, a person needs to realize on their own. They need to search and analyze and realize on their own what's the real deal. Which one is really closer to what Hashem really wants, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to genuine, authentic Judaism? Or even if we talk about genuine, authentic Judaism, and there is not just one path, there are many paths, which path is going to help me and my family come closest to Hashem? Which path is going to strengthen our faith in Hashem, in the Torah, in Tzaddikim, and through which path do we have the best chance of achieving the greatest fulfillment of Torah possible? Ve'im yistakel al tachlisoi hanitzchi be'ein ho'emes lamitoi. Every word here now is gold, solid gold. Rav Nosnal says, if the person will look carefully at their eternal goals, their goal of eternity, with real honesty, be'ein ho'emes lamita, the person will be really honest. They won't fool themselves, and they won't try to fool anybody else. Bevadai yizke lohovin be'eze derech yelech. The person will definitely be privileged to realize what path to follow, ulemile hiskariv, and to which tzaddik, to which rabbis to come close to. Bebchinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 32, askilcha v'orcha bederech zutelech. Hashem says, I will give you the wisdom and I will shine a light for you, showing you which path to go on. Iotzcha olecha eini, my eyes will guide you. With my winking, Hashem says, I'll wink to you when you're doing the right thing. You know, sometimes when a person can't spell something out, they can't say it, but they motion in certain ways, sometimes even a wink of an eye that shows the person, hey, now you got it. We know sometimes in school, kids are doing things and a teacher doesn't want to say something and they just look at a person a certain way and that look tells them whether they're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, etc. Hashem says, that if you are really, really sincere, and if you really are looking for the truth, I will guide you. I'll hint to you. I'll give you what you need for you to be able to make the right choices. And as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this, in chapter 7, in the second half of Likutei Moran, Kimarachmim Menagim, Sheyesh Remozim. Rabbeinu Zal says there that besides what's written in all the books, there's a lot that's not written. There's a lot that can only be communicated through hints. Shehein bechinas yodayim sheyesh b'yam hachochma. Rabbeinu Zal refers to this over there. He uses the terminology, the hands that are found in the sea of knowledge. Shema she'ein yecholim ligmor bedibur. Rabbeinu Zal says there that sometimes certain things that a teacher cannot convey properly with words, goimrim biyodayim, they finish it with their hands, beremozim, with hints. We know sometimes a person goes like this, a mother shakes her finger at a child and goes like that. No, no, no. They don't say no, they just shake the finger and the child knows what that means. That's a serious warning. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, notisi yodi, I extended my hand to teach you, to show you, to hint to you what the right path is. Ayin Sham, look over there in Likutei Moran, chapter 7, in the second half, where Rabbeinu Zal makes a major issue of this. He explains this a lot. V'chol zeh hu bechinas neder. And Rav Nosson Zal says, all of this is revolving around the concept of neder that we mentioned. Shenoider me'atzmoi midaitoi, which is an obligation that a person takes on themselves. Doesn't say, nobody told me. So what? Who needs somebody to tell me? What do you mean? I walk into the house and things are on the floor. Man walks into the house after a super hard day, sees things on the floor, this and that, and he walks right past it and he goes straight to his wife, is dinner ready? And she looks at him and she's in shock. Are you wearing sunglasses? You don't see that this is a... Instead of just coming and saying, is dinner ready? Maybe look around you for a second. You see certain things. Put on a smile. You see that there's tension. You can diffuse that tension in 1 second by putting on a big smile and say, how is everybody? And by looking at this one here who needs it, this one's saying, I want this. And right away, okay, let me give this one this. A couple of tiny little band-aids. A band-aid over here, band-aid over there. And suddenly 75% of the tension is gone. Now suddenly we're dealing with 25% only. We just lowered the fire, you know, in an incredible way. So this is all in the category of neder, shenoider me'atzmoi, midaitoi, which the person takes upon himself of his own volition, bishvil precious, in order to achieve a higher level of spirituality, a higher close. Shezeo b'chinas Pinchas ben Elozer. This is, as we explained earlier, this is the concept of the great tzaddik Pinchas. B'chinas, as the Gemara says, kol hamekanim kinas Hashem tzvokois. Any Jew who shows this zealousness, where he goes above and beyond the word of the law, even if it doesn't say, I don't need anybody to tell me what to do in this situation. Shemavur b'divrei razalana, which the Gemara explains over there in Sanhedrin that we quoted earlier, she'ein moirin lohem beferish, that a rabbi will not tell a person clearly, yes, you're supposed to go kill that person, put a spear through him, through Zimri ben Soli, for what he was doing. Rak omru b'derech klau, it's just that the rabbi has made a general statement, haboyel aramis, that if a Jew goes ahead and has relations with a non-Jewish woman, kanoin poigenboy, then those Jews who feel a zealousness, they're allowed to take a shot at him. They can take a shot at him. Ve'ein mitzavin u'moirin beferish. However, if a person comes to a rabbi and says, should I kill him? The rabbi cannot say yes. Cannot say yes. So even though it's the right thing to do, and if you do it, it's an incredible Kiddush Hashem, and you can save thousands of Jews, you can put a stop to a plague, the rabbis can't tell you to do it. You have to be able to understand, you have to be able to read between the lines. There's what's written in the Torah, and there's what's not written, what's between the lines. Rak mi sheroitze lekano is kinas Hashem tzvoko is, it's just a person who wants to take up the honor of Hashem, and to exert himself a little, go beyond the word of the law in a sense, Yovoi Veyizke, will come and will be privileged. He'll have the privilege of doing this incredible thing for Hashem. Now, naturally, there's a tremendous danger and risk factor in this. Because once we say that it's up to self-interpretation, and doing things that you weren't told to do. We know that there are many kids. A woman goes out from her house for for an hour or so, and she comes back, and her son is glowing, and he says, Mommy, I'm gonna make you, I made you so happy. I washed all the dishes. Remember all the meat dishes from Shabbos and the dairy dishes from Thursday night? I put them all together in boiling hot water, like I know you usually like to, but, and I put all of them together, and I washed them all, and now they're perfectly clean. The meat and the dairy with the cheese and the meat. And she says, oh, who asked you? Who? I didn't. He says, of course you didn't ask me. Who needs to be asked? I love you, and I know it's so hard for you. I figured I'll save you time and energy. And he went ahead and washed all the meat and dairy, you know. This is an example, you know, where sometimes when a person is taking things upon their own, you need a lot of education and a lot of tefillah to make sure that you know where to draw the lines, what you're allowed to do, and what's healthy, what's unhealthy. But there's obviously it could be a win-win or a lose-lose situation. Sometimes a person says, "Oh, great, then I won't do anything." Won't do anything. There's a price tag on that. There's an important price tag on that. And at the same time, a person who's doing and sometimes does things that are harmful, not supposed to, there's a danger in that also. One of the first sort of funny things that I heard when I came to Breslov 40 years ago was one of the rabbis in Yerushalayim, one of the leading rabbis in Breslov and Yerushalayim at the time. He was talking about what goes on in Yerushalayim, especially in certain neighborhoods, where they're very anti-kanos. They don't do any kanos. And he was saying that one of the great tzaddikim, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Zichron Avrocha, of 60, 70 years ago, the one who went through the Holocaust, once came to Yerushalayim, and at that time there were all kinds of winds blowing. There were kanoim, anti-Zionist, anti-Jewish, anti-women, anti... There are people who just prefer to put the word anti in front of anything. First put it there, and then we'll see if it's okay or not. But first, I'm against. What am I against? I'm probably anything you represent, I'm against. That's for starters. Once you recognize that, now we'll take a look and see if there's anything about you that I'm not against. There are people that take that kind of position in all directions. There are people who are anti-religious, and there are people who are anti-chiloni, all kinds. So this rabbi got up in Yerushalayim. He was visiting Yerushalayim, and he was invited to speak in a large crowd. And he asked the question that the Torah tells us that when Yaakov Avinu and Esav were in their mother's womb, it says there was a battle, there was a tug of war going on. They were fighting it out inside the womb. And the Gemara says, what does this refer to? The Gemara says every time she would pass a religious place, a shul or a beis medrash, Yaakov Avinu was fighting to get out. Every time she would pass a non-Jewish place of worship or a bad place, Esav was fighting to get out. That was the battle going on. So this rabbi asked the question. He said, we know the Gemara tells us that the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, doesn't open his doors for business until birth, until the baby comes out of the mother's womb. There's a pasuk, La Pesach Chatos Roivetz. The sin waits at the entranceway. As soon as a person enters into the physical world, that's when the Yetzirah says, pleased to meet you, I'll be with you on this trip. I'll be happy to accompany you every step of the way and to show you the sights and sounds. But the question is here, we're talking about during pregnancy. Esav didn't have a Yetzirah at that time. We know the Yetzer Tov is with the person. In other words, the Gemara says a person has an angel teaching him Torah at that time, all kind, not Yetzer Tov, but an angel teaching him Torah. So where in the world could Esav have gotten this desire to go into a church, all these bad places and everything? So he answered, therefore we must say that Esav wasn't looking to go to those places to worship or to the bar and grill. He wasn't going there for drinks. He wanted to go there to break the windows. He was going there to bust the place up, to beat up the people. That's what he was going for. Once he started like that, there are many people who start like that. They start with kanos, that they don't like when a woman goes by who's not dressed properly, so they're going to yell at her or throw rocks at her. And while they're doing that, they become very attached. They become connected there. They end up staying there and becoming full-fledged members, chas v'shalom. They end up looking and doing and falling in with both feet, chas v'shalom. This rabbi wanted to make a point of the dangers, the risks of kanos. That kanos also is something very delicate, that a person has to really be knowledgeable in Torah or have a proper rabbi and have had a lot of training to know how to read between the lines, when to read, when to go for the extra credit and when not to. When it's worth it sometimes to forego certain things, sometimes a person is being machmir in a certain area, the Gemara says, and mekil in other areas. That by doing this extra good thing over here, you're causing tremendous damage in another area, which is much worse, chas v'shalom. So there is a tremendous shikul hadas that's needed here. But for right now, Rav Nosson Zal is focusing, he's enlightening us and telling us that this is an important piece of Judaism. And this is an important piece of living in this world. That a person can't say, nobody told me, I didn't know. How was I supposed to know? Where does it say? Where does it say? There are some people that think that that's going to excuse them for not having exploited this and all kinds of other things, and they don't know that they're in for a tremendous surprise. What do you mean, what does it say? Somebody had to tell you? Did I have to tell you to buy ice cream? Where does it say to eat ice cream? Where does it say to do this? That everything in your life you did only when it said? There were a lot of things that you did by choice where you weren't told. You didn't have to be told. So in religion also, if you really mean it, if you really want the truth, then you're going to understand a lot of things even before you're told. You're going to be able to make a lot of different important positive steps. Rav Nosson Zal continues, V'ze b'chinas tzedaka. And this is also the concept of tzedaka, as we mentioned earlier, charity. Charity is not that I have to, even though within charity there is some have to. There is a law in the Torah that says 10%. Aser ta aser es kol tvua sarecha. There are certain requirements. But let's say on other levels, taking a guest into your home, hachnos esorchim, certain other things, which a person can say, it's not, I don't have to. I don't get an avera, I don't get punished if I didn't. And here now Rav Nosson Zal says, takes it a step further. V'ze b'chinas tzedako shel balei tzedako ha'amitim. And this is the beauty of the charity of the real charity givers, those who fulfill the mitzvah really in its best way. Meaning, she'enam noisnim b'shvil kovod v'tiferes, they're not giving the charity only because of their being honored, only if people are going to know about it and they'll have their name in lights, etc. Oy machmas tivom, or they're not even giving it because it comes natural to them. There are some people who are naturally generous. They enjoy giving. They're givers. There are people who are takers by nature, and there are people who are givers. And Rabbeinu Zal shows in Likutei Moran, in that chapter that he quoted just before, chapter four in the second half of Likutei Moran, the chapter that's entitled where Hashem says to Eliyahu Hanavi, I've instructed the ravens to take care of you. V'so'oirvim tzivisi l'chalkalecha. This was when Eliyahu Hanavi was hiding out for his life. When he had told Achav, the idol worshiper, the king who was leading the Jews in idol worship at the time, that you think you're getting away, you're not getting away with nothing. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says you're going to worship idols, there'll be no rain. Watch, no rain. And Eliyahu Hanavi got hold of the key to rain from Hashem, and he turned it off, no rain. And then Achav wanted to kill him for this, because this started a famine, and Eliyahu Hanavi ran away and hid. He hid out in a cave. Where's he going to get food? There's no makolets, there's no... So Hashem said, no problem. I've instructed the ravens to bring you food. They're going to fly into the kitchens of Yehoshaphat, glat kosher kitchens, and they're going to bring you food from there to be able to eat in your cave. So Rabbeinu Zal says over there in the Likutei Moran, why are ravens being used to give? And Rabbeinu Zal explains, because that's real charity. That's real giving. We know the raven, the nature of the raven is not to give anything. A raven doesn't even have rachmonis on its own young. And Rabbeinu Zal says real giving is when it doesn't come natural, when the person has 1,000 reasons why he doesn't want to give, and it comes very natural to him to hold on to every penny he has, and he ain't looking to share his meal, his wife made a delicious strawberry shortcake, and he loves that, and he ain't looking to give it away to anybody else, but he knows that Hashem says there's a mitzvah of achnoses orchim, and therefore if he sees that there are 3 or 4 people in the shul that don't have where to eat, he's going to invite him in the house, even though he knows it means he's going to have less, and his kids are going to have less, not just me. There are some people, okay, for myself, of course, I'm happy, but my kid, take food away from my kids to give to a stranger? What, am I crazy? You think I'm nuts? And this person knows, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, that Yehi Beischa Pasuach Lervocha, your house should be open wide for guests, for company, v'yihiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha. On that last line, there are thousands of interpretations, but two of the interpretations are, one of the interpretations is that the poor people should be members of your household. Make them feel like b'nei bayis. Make them feel like they're members. They're not guests, your family. We're all one family here. We're all B'nai Avram Yitzchok Yaakov. It's not my house, it's your house. It's Hashem's house. We're the same guests. I'm a guest here and you're a guest here. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is V'yiyu aniyim b'nei beisecha, let your own family members be poor. Meaning, take away. Sometimes there's only so much food to go around. And it means that my kids are going to have less. They're not going to have a full plate. They're going to have 3/4 of a full plate or 2/3 of a full plate in order to accommodate a guest or the second guest or third guest. And that's perfectly okay. I'm okay with that. Even though I feel much closer, naturally, I feel much closer to my kids than I feel to this person who I don't even know. I just saw them for the first time, you know. But again, for Hashem, the way Hashem defines the mitzvah of tzedakah, that real tzedakah is when it's not being given for the sake of personal honor or glory, or it's not being given because it comes natural. Rak noisnim bishvil Hashem yisborach. I'm giving because Hashem said so. I'm giving out of respect and love for Hashem. And therefore, anyone who Hashem wants me to give, that's my priority. V'ho'ikr, and one of the most important forms of charity we know is lahachzik oiskim batoira ksherim ansheyemes, to support people who are studying Torah, who are religious, who are people of truth. Note, Rav Nosson Zal could have said oiskim batoira, period. What do you mean? You have people who are learning Torah who are not truthful? The answer is definitely yes, definitely yes. Rav Nosson Zal wants to make it perfectly clear that he's talking about oiskim batoira and they're religious, ksherim. There are people who are learning Torah and they're thieves, they're murderers, they're bandits. They belong behind bars, or worse. Unfortunately, not everybody, obviously. Unfortunately, Rahman Sallallahu, there are non-religious people who group the whole religious world in one category. They hear, they read in the papers that they caught a religious guy stealing from the gut. Oh, look at this, you see? Now everybody knows the religious people steal. Everybody knows that, right? There's a famous mashal that I heard from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, years ago. There's a pasuk in Chumash. When Avram Avinu saw the three angels coming, and they appeared to him like Arabs. He didn't see angels, he saw Arabs. And he went running, even though he was sick. It was the third day after the Bris Milah. He was in pain and sick and everything. He jumped out of the chair running to make sure they wouldn't get away, to run after them, make sure they wouldn't pass by his house. Brought him into the house, and right away, he's not giving him garbage steak or shish kebab. He's giving him the real deal, tongue. A tongue feast. There's three angels. We're going to shech three behemoths, so each one of them gets a whole tongue. The best of the, only the finest for my guests. And then he tells his wife, Sarah, Mahari shloish sim kemach, lushi vasiugois. Go bake, let's hurry up, bake up a storm for them. These guys are hungry. So it says there, kemach soilis. Now, kemach usually refers to a cheaper type of flour. Soilis refers to the choicest kind of flour. So the Gemara says, Avram Avinu said, asked for kemach. Sarah went ahead and used soilis, the best flour. So the Gemara says, from here we have proof that women don't like guests, that women have a bad eye when it comes to guests. So all the Mefarshim say, well, what is this? What do you mean? So one of the Mefarshim gives a mashal, a parable to understand this. He says there was once a king, a lioness, a female lion, a mommy lion, who had given birth to cubs, and she had raised them and everything, and now they were ready to go out into the world. So she gave them a final lecture before going out there, and she said, listen here, my young critters. I want you to know for your whole life that we are king. We are the top. There is nobody and nothing in the world that doesn't fear you and respect you. So you go wherever you please, you do what you need, you don't have to worry about anything. Have a nice life. And she sent them running on their way. Picture getting that kind of introduction. They're running and jumping and playing in the forest, and they're running. Now they're allowed to go way far away from the den where they were kept till then. So they run and run until they come to a clearing. So they've never been here before, and they see there's no trees, there's no this. they see, you know, roads, and they see people for the first time, and they're looking around, everything's new to them, and they're walking slowly, so carefully, and suddenly one of the lion cubs says to his brother or sister, look up there. And they see a statue, a huge statue. In the statue, they see a lion, a very, very powerful, muscular-looking lion with its jaws open, and they see a man that looks like Hercules, Tarzan, Shimshon, all rolled up in one. Huge, strong man holding the jaws of this lion open, and he's about to tear him in half. He's going to tear this lion in half. They look at this, they look at each other, and they hightail it back to mommy. They say, boy, we're going to educate mommy. I guess she never came to this town. She doesn't know in this town what they do to lions. They go running back, running, come back to mommy, and mommy says, how was your day? And they say, how was our day? And they look petrified. She says, what? What happened? They says, you told us we don't have to be afraid of, you know what we saw? We saw this statue that, so the mommy smiles and says, that proves exactly what I said, that the lions are the strongest, most powerful. And the one time in a few thousand years that there was a man that came along and tore a lion in half, look what kind of statue they put up. Look how they made such a big deal about it. That proves that this is one in a million. Just like so too with Sarah Imenu. The fact that the Torah wrote this, why did the Torah write this? That he asked her for the cheaper one, she gave the better one. Why is that mentioned in the Torah? To let us know that she was the exception to the rule. That usually women by nature prefer less guests, no guests. The one woman, one of those exceptional rare Jewish women who had a Jewish heart, a Yiddish mama, who loved to share what she had and loved guests, Sarah Imenu, where Avraham Avinu asked her for Kemach and she brought Seiles, for her, the Torah gave her a plaque. There's a plaque in the Torah telling her that she was special. So here again, we're talking about Tzedakah, Hachnosas Sorachim. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, Oiskim Batorah. Ah, we were talking about, so those people, oh, same thing is with the newspaper. That once in a year, once in 5 years, when they catch a religious Jew doing something wrong, sometimes true or not true, again, remember, the newspapers aren't halachic writings. Usually the guys who write and publish the newspapers are all guys that belong behind bars. They're all major criminals, crooks, you know, where money and lust, money and Tavis Royce are what drive everything they do. But again, the one time that a religious Jew is caught, and it shows up, there are people who want to use that to label, put a label that all religious Jews are like that, when we know that's not the case. And the same thing is true on the other side. This is why Rav Nosson Zal makes a point of saying, Oiskim batoira, ksherim anshei emes. There's a number of levels in a person being worthy of being the choice that you would want to make to give tzedakah. Person says, a person who's new to Yiddishkeit, and he hears about charity, and he takes out the yellow pages, and he sees the yeshiva, and he sends him a check for $3 million or $12 million. And then he finds out afterwards that, he said, what do you mean? I knew you're supposed to give to yeshivas, so I gave to a yeshiva. What's the big deal? What's wrong? The person doesn't know that there are yeshivas and there are yeshivas. There's oiskim batoira, there's ksherim, there's anshei emes. These are all different levels. The Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yisroel spoke to him about leading Klal Yisroel, about the struggle Moshe Rabbeinu was having and leading the Jews single-handedly, and he told him, you better set up a hierarchy, you better set up people under you that you can work with. So Yisroel there gave a list of the requirements. Yirei Elokim, Anshei Chayel, Soinei Botz, Anshei Emes, Soinei Botza. Then when it says that Moshe Rabbeinu put the people in the position, it leaves out some of the requirements. So the Gemara points out, he went looking for people who fulfilled all five things there. He didn't find any. He got stuck with four out of five. That was pretty good. To know that it's not always so simple. And even when it comes to Oiskim Batoira, a person has to look carefully to see. There are different levels, all kinds. I remember Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Evrocha, when he brought us into Breslov, and he taught about the mitzvah of tzedakah, one of the few things, one of the very few things that he asked of his students was that they should give their meiser to Breslov. That the meiser, if this is your connection, if this is where you're getting your Torah, if this is who you feel is your rabbi, then he asked, he said, anybody comes, if people ask for charity, you try not to leave anybody out. You give a shekel, a dollar, $100, each person on their level, a certain minimum donation that you give without major inquisition, without checking the guy's socks and his shoes and his heritage and everything. But if we're talking about a commitment, a person giving a solid amount to tzedakah, or their meiser, which in some ways is the choice of tzedakah, there you want to make sure it's going to the right place, to the best place. And if you trust this person with your neshama, if he's the one that you're getting your Torah from, he would try to get it, that his students should support, you know, the things that he was responsible for. In fact, he added to it an important note, that he said that if a person will come to the heavenly court and he'll say, I was a student of Rabbi Nachman, they'll say, prove it. The person will say, well, I learned Likutei Moran every day. So what? There are Satmar Chassid, there are other people who learn, who like the Sforim, and they learn it daily, even though they're not members. They're not committed to Rabbi Nachman. They take from him and they take from others and all kinds of stuff. So the person said, well, I went to Uman. So, okay, again, there are non-Breslovers, people who make it perfectly clear, I'm not Breslov, but I go to Kivrei Tzadikim, and I went to Uman, I go to Uman also. Or I go to Uman Rosh Hashanah because I like the davening, I like the this, I like the that, but it doesn't obligate me, that doesn't mean I follow everything Rabbi Nachman says. And he went down the list of all kinds of different things, Tikkun HaKloli. He said, whereas if a person says, I give my meiser strictly to Breslov, he said, that shows a certain level of commitment. That's not something that a person who's not a member would do. A person says, my meiser is, that shows a certain level of loyalty and commitment. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds another very, very special piece to this. Utzrichim litein tzedakah yoiser mikoicham. And people need to give tzedakah sometimes more than their ability, more than what they think they can do. Ba'oifen sheyivnu eze binyan digdusha. For example, when it comes to building some kind of an edifice of kedusha, person's living in a city and they don't have a mikveh. And this person knows the largest donation they ever gave in their life up to that point was $18. And suddenly they're coming around for a mikveh and they say there's 300 people in the city. If every person gives $180, we'll have a mikveh. If they don't, we won't. There's no half a mikveh. You can't have half a mikveh. You can't have two walls up. The water will leak out the other way. If we want to do this right, we need a minimum of so much. A person has to ask himself that, hey, I know that usually this is my maximum, but maybe in this case I have to make an exception where it's going to involve, I'm going to be a partner in doing something big, something permanent, something that's going to help hundreds of people, where children and grandchildren are going to be born from women who go to this mikveh, I'll know I have a part in it. You know, that kind of thing. Sheyir loy kiyum la'olam, a binyan of kedusha, which will be something that'll stand permanently. Ukemay shepirish Rashi al posuk, as Rashi HaKodesh says in Koheles, chapter 8, on the posuk, oyhev kesev lo yizba kesev. A person who loves money will never have enough. They'll never be satisfied. Umi oyhev behamoin loy tavoya gam zehevel. The pasuk says over there. Upirish Rashi. Rashi Kodesh points out over there. Shafilu im oise mitzvois. That even a Jew who's doing mitzvahs, he's doing mitzvahs as much as he can. Im einoy oise mitzvah sheyihi lo kiyum. If he doesn't make sure to do a mitzvah that has permanence to it, a mitzvah that has long-lasting effects, kegoin, and Rashi gives examples, kegoin binyan beis haknesses, like building a shul, oy sefer Torah, or writing a sefer Torah, then he hasn't really fulfilled completely. He hasn't really understood completely the value of tzedakah, you know, and fulfilling this mitzvah in its fullest sense. Rav Nosson Salek now clarifies this. U'kamayshamotzinu kama pomim, as we find many times throughout Jewish history, bekama ayoros, in many different cities, shohayachoser lohem tzorchei rabim, where the city needed something important. They were lacking something which would serve the public. Kegoin beis hamedrash, for example, they needed a place to learn. Oy mikveh, vohayakosher lekabetz mehahamoin. And it was very hard to be able to raise the money to do it from the general population, because we're talking about people who barely make their ends meet. You can't ask this guy for $1,000 or 10 grand because he just don't have it, and he ain't going to have it in 5 years. The kofatz echod, and one person jumped, the osa misheloi, and decided to do it on his own. This person who had received an inheritance, let's say, some kind of circumstance came up, something happened where the person came into a substantial piece of money, and the person could have said, well, so what? I need it. I have kids, or I'm going to have children, and I'm going to have grandchildren. Why should I give it away when I can put it away in a bank account, and I can, who knows, this can last me? And the person saw the situation and said, who knows? Nobody knows if I'm going to be around in 5 years or 10. This emergency exists right now, and there's nobody else to do it. Bang, I'm going to jump in and do it. I'm going to take 5,000. I'm going to take a piece out of this, a serious piece, and I'm going to be zocheh for me and my family to know that we did it. The person that does that, tzidkosoy oimedes lo'ad. The Gemara says that person's tzedakah is an eternal tzedakah. Oy, or another example of this is, afilu she'enoy oise mishaloi. Even if a person doesn't give it out of his own pocket, rak shehu misoirer me'atzmoy lasoik bozeh, but rather the person becomes so inspired by the need, by the fact that this is such an important need, that he decides to get involved. I'm not going to write a check. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to give time. I'm going to take an hour out of my day to go knocking on doors, to go asking people to get to make sure every person is giving what they can. Mr. Lazar, lingois kolechod, to pursue every single, to raise funds from every single person. Velizboil harbe bizyoinois ushfichas domem mikolechod, and to suffer assorted insults and murder, having his blood spilled by each and every single person who approaches. The guys who say, not today, come back tomorrow, I'm not here, I'm not there, all a billion different excuses to make the guy feel like dirt, like he's the worst criminal in the world for asking them for money for a mitzvah. The struggle that he has from each and every person, the toirach ho'esik v'abinyan, and or the struggle and the difficulty involved in making the project happen, calling the contractors, looking for who's cheaper, you know, all the different things. V'hu mekabel al atzmoy kol zeh, and the person accepts all of this upon himself. Bishvil hamitzvah hakayem eslo'ad, again, not to have his name in lights, and he's doing it because he knows that this is a big mitzvah. This is an opportunity. This is something that's going to have eternal effects. Shezehu godoil ma'oid. This is something very, very special. Ki godoil hama'ase yoise min ho'ise, kamo yisha mazal. Because the Gemara says in Baba Basra, page 9, that a person who gets others to give gets more credit than the ones who are actually giving sometimes. Ubilvad. Now Rav Nosson Salek adds a point here, because there's a lot of guys in this field. There's a lot of guys in this business. Ubilvad sheyir kavanosoy l'shem shamayim, on condition that his intentions are pure. His intention is purely serving Hashem, to do what Hashem, to bring honor and glory to Hashem. Not that this is going to make him a big shot. This is going to make him, that because of this, they'll make him president, or they'll appoint him to the committee, or He doesn't want any of that stuff. He doesn't need any titles, any committees, and nonsense. Ulekanter chas shom. Well, not that he's going to use this against anybody, use this to lord it over anybody, to nothing like that. Makolshkein, how much more so? Kishodom oisek bischus horabim hagodol ma'oid. Rab Nosanel says this is even on a much higher level. When a person is involved in something that's going to help a large group of people in a very, very big way. She'oisek b'mitzvah she'ein lo toivin. He goes after a mitzvah which doesn't have too many customers. There are certain mitzvahs that people jump on, that everybody's volunteering, everybody wants to get involved, and there are certain things that everybody walks away from. No, I don't really want that. Shehuzchus horabim ma'oid, which is going to be a major benefit to the public. Ve'yeshloi harbe yisurim umeniyos ubizyonos, and the person who undertakes this mitzvah has incredible suffering and obstacles and insults. Bishvil zeh, for this mitzvah, avol kavanosoi lashamayim. However, his intentions are really pure. His intentions are he's doing it only for Hashem. Bishvil ho emes lamitoi. He's doing this to promote the real truth. The real truth. Shekol zeh hu bechinas kinas Hashem tzvokos. All of this is in that category of Pinchas, that category of this zealousness. A person who isn't obligated, he wasn't forced, he wasn't required to take on the project, he volunteered, he accepted it voluntarily. Bechinas nedorim. This is all in the category of neder, like we mentioned. Ayidei zeh ikar hatikin hamavura b'Torah now. Through this, through everything we spoke about here so far in this paragraph, this is what will make the main tikkun for all the issues that Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there in Torah Dalet and Likutei Moran Tanina, which means shehu lahachmiya metzach hanochosh, to defeat the metzach hanochosh, the bilams, the alidei koyach hatzdokah, through the power of tzdokah that Rabbeinu Zal mentions over there in Likutei Moran. Vayidei zeh zoichen letshuva. And through this, we're zeichet to real tshuva, ad shemevatlin deyoseim horoy saral min oilam, to the point where we will succeed in eliminating all of their wrong ideologies, the meitzach hanochosh and the koyfrim, the scientists that who don't believe in Hashem, all those different people that were mentioned earlier, that I mentioned in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, through these kind of mitzvahs, through this kind of charity and this kind, we'll succeed in eliminating all of that stuff. Umagbirim koyach harotzoin, and we strengthen and elevate the power of rotzoin digdusha. V'chol zeh mekablim koyach mizikne hadoer hoamitim, and in order to accomplish all of this, where do we get the strength to do it? From the true good elders of the generation, the tzadikim, bechinas Moshe, like Moshe Rabbeinu, shehu zoiche lebechinas hatoras nedorim. As we saw earlier, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who Hashem gave him this mitzvah, this privilege of being on a level to release Jews from vows also. Ki hatoras nedorim hu pele godol b'yoser. Because the ability to release a person from a vow is the most incredible wonder. Shafilu haneder b'yatzmoi yochol hachocham latiroi. That even neder, which we said is such a powerful thing, once a person makes a vow, he's connecting to plios chachma, all kinds of super high spiritual levels, and still, the chacham is above that. The chacham has the power to go above that. This is above the neder is in the penthouse. There's a second penthouse. There's a floor on top of that, which the chacham can go up to and be able to negate the neder, to undo the neder. Because the whole power of neder, of all those who make vows, they receive that from the Chacham, who is Bechinas Moshe Kanal. As we saw earlier, Hashem gave the mitzvah of neder. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak to the Roshei Hamatos and you present them with this item. V'alkein, and therefore, b'yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, shetzrichim lizkois letshuva ulemechilas avoinois, which is the most important day of the year when we're trying to achieve complete tshuva and total forgiveness for sins, maschilin kol nidre. How do we start Yom Kippur? With kol nidre. Me'inyan nedorim v'hatorosam, which discusses making vows and releasing people from vows. Ki mishom shoresh ha'tshuva kanal. Because that is the source, spiritually, of tshuva. V'hakol bekoyach ha'tzadikei emes ha'klula mebchinas Moshe. And all of this, the whole power of neder and hatoras nedarim, is all based on the power and help of the true tzaddikim, who are all included in the umbrella term Moshe Rabbeinu. V'alkein oimrim oz koidem kol nidre, and that's why before the chazan begins with the words kol nidre, there's a couple of lines that we say before that. B'yeshiva shel mala u'b'yeshiva shel mato. We make a declaration, we declare that in the highest yeshivas in heaven and on all the yeshivas on earth, we hereby declare that the door is open. We invite all sinners. Avaryan means a real sinner, major sinners. We're inviting everybody here to come in, to clean up their act, to do tshuva, and to rejoin Klal Yisrael. Kitzrichim lehalois kol ha'avaryonim el hakdusha ulachzirim b'tshuva, because our ultimate goal is that we want to try to elevate all the avaryonim, to bring them into the kedusha, and to help them be zeicha to complete tshuva. Alkein, therefore, in order to make that happen, what do? Mekashrim atzmon lahayeshiva shalmala v'shalmata. We first say that we're attaching ourselves. We're connecting ourselves to the upper yeshiva and to the lower yeshiva. Shehem klal hatzadikim shebechayim chiyusam. This refers to all the living tzadikim. The yeshiva shalmata, the yeshiva down here on earth, means all the living tzadikim, physically living. V'chol hatzadikim shoich neofor. And the yeshiva shalmala refers to all the tzadikim who have already passed away. Shehem b'chinas yeshiva shalmala. U'bekoicham. And it's through their power, anu mispalalim b'yom HaKippurim, that we're starting our prayers on Yom Kippur, v'oimrim kol nidre, we're reciting the kol nidre, u'magbiin kol ho'avaryonim lachzirim b'tshuva. And we're elevating all the sinners, we're inviting all the sinners, come, we will elevate you, and we will assist you in being zechet to return to Hashem in tshuva. Paragraph Tzadik Hei. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to address what he started this conversation, this discussion with. The Ata, and now, Memela Muvan, you could understand automatically. Shebishvil Zeh. Because of this, Kishenosan Moshe Lev Lirois Besivloisam, the Gemara says, when Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was really looking at the suffering of the Jewish people in Egypt, that's when Hashem rewarded him and revealed to him, Giloloy Hashem Yisporach Soid Parshas Nedorim Daika. That's when Hashem revealed to him the secret, the great secret of Nedorim. Nedorim and being released from Nedorim. Ki Iker Tsaroy Hoyo Shero Arichas Hagolus Mehecha Nimshach. The main pain, the pain and anguish that Moshe Rabbeinu was feeling at that time was over the fact that he saw how much the Jews are suffering and how long it's going to go on. And he saw the echkoshel esakno. He saw the cause and why it's so difficult to fix this. The ikar hakishui v'akvedus humachmas b'chinas doson v'aviram. And the main difficulty, the main problem was the Dothan Vaviram problem, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu can't operate with a free hand. He has opposition everywhere he moves, every move he makes. There's opposition, there are cholkim, there are misnagdim. Shein b'chinas ha-cholkim alohemes. This refers to those people who are against the true tzaddikim. Alkein gilo lo Hashem yisbor asoy parshas nedarim. That's why Hashem revealed to him the secret of this parsha in the Torah of Neder, shehu b'chinas mekanei kinas Hashem tzvokos, which also represents those zealots, those people who have this fire, that they don't have to be told everything, and they do more than what they're told, b'chinas tzedaka haguna, which corresponds also with that Jew who will jump up and give a serious amount sometimes, where he's straining himself a little bit in order to make something happen in Yiddishkeit in a big way, kanal, shaydeze machmin kol hacholkim. This is what helps to dissolve, to negate all the opposition to the true tzaddikim, that kind of tzedakah, that kind of kinas Hashem tzvokos, umegalin ha'ora sarotzayim boilam. This is what will help reveal and broadcast to the world the rotzayim, that everything in existence is rotzayim Hashem, shaydeze ikar ha'pedus v'hagula. And this is what will bring about, that this is the ultimate pidyon, and this is what will bring about the final redemption, the final Gula.